Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak library, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Weiner Jr. invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome to the latest edition of the BBP Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Paul Leander Jr. and Jim Ozarski, your Bengals beat writers, Cincinnati.com, Cincinnati Inquirer, coming to you from my basement. It's a creep show down here. It's a creep show down here. I'm not going to lie. This basement needs a lot. It needs to be organized. That's going to be my off-season project. So sorry, basement. You got a few more months. You got a few more months to go until I can get to you. But hopefully, if there's any shrieks in the middle of the podcast, it's because something creepy crawly showed up by the couch.
Yeah, I'm all right with it.
You're all right with it?
Yeah.
Okay, as long as you're comfortable. But you haven't seen some of the things that are actually down here. So, all right, well, we've got a lot to get to today. We did the emergency BBP last week. So
right.
A bit of our thunder has sort of been stolen. But as is with anything when a move like this is made, an unprecedented one, there's plenty more to get to.
Yeah.
So today was the first day we could catch up with all the players.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that, including some really, really interesting stuff from A.J. McCarron and Andy Dalton, and as well a really good interview you had with Joe Mixon. We're going to get to all of that stuff here today. And then, of course, there's reports that we've got to go into.
Reports.
Reports. Sources. Man says thing.
Yeah.
which we had to spend a lot of time reacting to, and then everybody was asking about one Colin Kaepernick and Andy Dalton being on a short leash because Pro Football Talk decided that this was a thing that they wanted to be a thing. Going on national television with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting.
Very much so.
I don't even know where to start with that one.
It's confounding.
Yeah, I don't think they would. You would think on a show that has Dan Patrick and Bob Costas and Peter King, that's the way I look at it. They wouldn't just roll out there if they didn't feel somebody said something. But the way it was written and from what I heard, I mean, the reaction to that in the locker room after the comment, and then even today, Paul, was like, it was more of, I had one guy say he has spent more time in this locker room than I have then.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, locker rooms are big places. There's 50, their practice squad, there's 63 guys. Mm-hmm. Not all of them know each other or know each other very well. But, I mean, It was so. I'm not surprised because of the near mutiny article that was trotted out. It seemed like this was like a leftover from that. I'm gonna wait till Sunday night before the show to drop a Kaepernick thing.
Right, because there's any time there could possibly be a Kaepernick thing.
Yeah,
it's just the national
The national sirens start going off. Alert, alert, we have a Kaepernick opportunity. Right.
On the heels of another bad Andy primetime performance and on the national stage, Bengals fire coordinator, which was hilarious to me because I listened to that show this morning and read the stories and was like, who fires an offensive coordinator after 2 weeks? And I was like, well, if they read Cincinnati.com, they would have found out that it's actually happens like quite a bit now. After,
right.
Relatively speaking.
Right.
After, you know, Thursday games.
These Thursday games, too. They tend to
I mean,
be a
you
thing.
Know what I mean? So it was just, you kind of add it all together, and it was just a perfect storm of stuff. But for the most part, look, you guys trust us to, you know, lay it out. And we talked to, I don't know, what, over a dozen people?
Yep.
Some guys came out on the record, and then we talked to a bunch off that were just like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
If that's been said, I haven't heard it.
Right. And it's just one. I mean, if you really want to get into the logistics of this, has not, and I had to write just because some people were asking about it. I had to write and walk through on Monday, just to the fact that if they were really considering a move, this isn't about Colin Kaepernick or his political movement. This is about what is the most logical way to try to continue to win games. Bringing a guy in off the street who doesn't know anything about what's been going on here,
right?
Doesn't know any of the personnel, doesn't know any of the offense. And then you're just going to do that over A.J. McCarron? Even A.J. McCarron, I mean, we can admit, is a significant step up from somebody off, anybody off the streets, no matter who it is.
Right.
I mean, he's here. He's done it before. He's in your system.
Right.
You can plug him in and go.
Wait, you mean you wouldn't want to sign an off-the-street free agent quarterback to play under an interim offensive coordinator?
It sounds like a success story to me. I don't see how this doesn't work.
Right.
It's just so obscure. And if it is a player said that they could probably like
right.
it. Players say lots of things.
Yeah.
Okay. And players often sometimes have no clue what they're talking about. Okay. And let's just be honest. And that's okay.
Right.
But let's not claim that it's anything more than that. And it was that little thing taken, and all of a sudden you can drop the name Kaepernick in there.
Right.
And that continues to be a thing. So we're going to be done with that. But that was a hot topic of conversation. Yeah. The other part of that I think that is more interesting and that we'll dive into is the concept of of Andy Dalton on a short leash. And the bottom line is nobody really knows around here specifically what is going to happen with Bill Lazor in as coordinator until they play at Green Bay.
Right.
No one can say that they know because only Bill Lazor really knows.
Right.
And I'm sure.
And he's only just figured it out in the last 36 hours.
With his staff trying to all, and everyone has an opinion right now.
Right.
So no one really knows which opinion Bill Lazor is going to go with, how it's going to mold. And that probably will change over the course of this week. And I'm sure that there were conversations that had to start when he was sitting in Marvin Lewis's office talking about this gig, where Marvin Lewis and Bill Lazor talked about how are we going to approach Andy Dalton.
Right.
Right. He's been bad through two games. You go through, and I was doing this as I wrote the story today, of looking at his numbers in these two games versus his career.
Yeah.
It's indecipherable. That you can't even compare them. They're so far different from anything he's ever been in his career.
Right.
So, you know, if you're saying how are you going to fix Andy Dalton, I think the thought is, well, he's got to revert to the mean. There's just – it makes zero sense that a guy can suddenly – be nothing like his former self. It's Chuck Knoblauch.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As far as you look at it, what yards per attempt, passer rating, completion percentage, everything has just been he's been a completely different guy. And you wonder how much of it was just in his own head over all the stuff that was going on out there. He's got all these different things he's trying to calculate at the line. He's got a line that can't block. He's got six different receivers and three different running backs. And, you know, it's not coming out right. So in those conversations I'm getting tangentialized. In those conversations, you have to believe that Bill Lazor and Marvin Lewis are saying, what are we going to do here if this continues? And I'm sure there is talk of, well, if this continues at a certain point, everyone has a breaking point. You can't watch Andy Dalton be that guy for half a season.
Right.
Until you try something else. And the urgency was seen in them making the move. But I think to say, oh, it's going to be a short leash, is a little reactionary because, sure, I think anybody would have a leash that would be short if there was any other option and a guy could play like that for 5, 6, 7, 8 games.
Yeah.
The thought is there's no way that's going to continue, right? I mean, I think that's right. What they're – I'm sure that's what the conversation was like.
Yeah, and clearly this is a quarterback-driven league. I mean, A.J. Green was the one who stepped out, as we said, over the weekend and said, hey, it's a superstar-driven league. I need the ball. But in order for him to get the ball, the quarterback is the one – it's a quarterback-driven league. Quarterback may not be the superstar on this team, but so it's about getting – Andy Dalton in a rhythm, and Andy, you know, is Andy. He still couldn't bring himself to say anything, really. He has a fondness for Ken Zampezi, and I think it'll always stem back to that, like being his possession coach as a rookie, you know. So Andy wasn't going to toss him under the bus now that he's gone. You know, he wasn't kicking dirt on the grave. And so I'm curious to see what that means. I mean, you know, Andy... I think he's done things well in various areas of the passing game, Paul. So I'm curious, like, what do you think? Like, the easy thing is, you know, some A.J. Green and John Ross slants, quick throw, lead them, you know, short in the air, you know, maybe some play action, a couple go routes or a deep ball. Yes, he struggled in those these last 2 weeks, but to me, I've seen him do those things well and get going doing those things. But that's a lot of things. So what's the I'm fascinated as to what get the quarterback in a rhythm means for Bill
Lazor. To me, it means – I've heard Bill in every interview he's done since this move talk about – hey, I'm going to run certain – I have a quarterback that has plays
right.
That he likes, and I like him having that list so he thinks about what his favorite plays are, and he knows what his favorite plays are, and I know what his favorite plays aren't. He said that if you listen to the Emergency BVP, you heard him talk about that in the conference call.
Yeah,
I think many of Andy Dalton's favorite plays will be in the first 15.
Right.
What do you like most? Where are you most comfortable? What do you want to run? Let's go run them right away and get you going.
Yeah.
Okay? And get you comfortable. And maybe some of them are deep. Maybe it's some more, I think moving the pocket. I think more play action type stuff, rollouts is probably a way to go because I think his comfort might be a little outside of the pocket right now.
Yeah.
Considering what the line has been. So I think that's what it is. I don't think it's a specific type of route. I don't think it's short. I don't think it's long. I think it's intermediate. I think it is things he's comfortable doing. It probably means throwing to A.J. Green.
Right.
Because it usually does. And I think if you want to get both of those guys in a rhythm, that's how it starts. I mean, everything with this team on offense starts with 14 to 18.
Yeah. And that's the funny thing is, like, with the weekend off, Paul, I kind of took time to travel around a little bit, and I listen to national radio and a lot of local radio in various markets, and the Andy Dalton thing is fascinating because it's like the same old narrative, you know? And then who gets brought up right after that? Well, they've got A.J. McCarron. And it's like, wow, A.J. McCarron won a national title a long time ago.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Hill fumbled a long time ago. I mean, like in football speak, I mean, the team is almost half different from that one. You know what I mean? But it's like you still end up going back to that. And AJ had something to say about that, didn't he? Kind of.
Well, some of what he had to say. I'll start with Dalton, which he was obviously in a lot of reporters with cameras were interested in his take today. So this is a bit of that session and him sort of sidestepping the opportunity to really say anything.
Yeah.
And as you were in that, I snuck over to talk to AJ. And just because I thought his perspective on this whole thing would be very interesting. And he had a lot of really interesting things to say. And so I want to play those for you. You guys can digest all of that, particularly a bunch of stuff about his speaking up for Andy Dalton. And then we'll come back and kind of discuss it. So here is Andy Dalton first, and then A.J. McCarron on a whole lot of things. Ken Zampezi, Andy Dalton, and his role in all of this mess.
Were you shocked?
I mean, obviously, understanding this profession, you know anything can happen at any point, and when you're not being as productive as you thought, you know, obviously something could happen. So, you know, it's two games in, we hadn't done what we thought we were going to do, and unfortunately, it ended the way it did.
It's one of the first moves, Andy, to basically say, what do you want as the quarterback? What changes would you like to see?
I wouldn't necessarily say that, but I think it comes down to just the relationship for me and Marvin, the relationship for me and Bill, and him understanding the guys that we have, and trying to find a way to change what we've been doing to get the production. I think that's the biggest thing. And there may be big changes, there may not be changes at all, but whatever it is, it's a production business, and that's what we're trying to get. I think everybody wants to be better at what we're doing, and so as long as everybody's got that mentality, I think that's the only thing we can do right now.
Did anything seem different out there today?
You know, I feel like when obviously somebody new's in, they have their own kind of twist on things and different spin on things. So there's some things that were exactly the same as what we've done, and some things that were a little different.
It wasn't that long ago that you guys were rolling offensively. I mean, do you almost have to remind people that this talent is there?
We got to prove to people that the talent's there. I don't think we have to be saying anything. And so, for us, that's our goal.
You guys have been, you and AJ have been remarkably, since you've been in the league, remarkably free of controversy, big headlines. Now, I guess it's starting to come a little bit, you know, Marvin has said, you're secure in your job. Do you read rumors? How do you react to headlines that say that maybe you're not?
No, I don't read anything, and there's no reason to read anything because it doesn't mean anything. People can come up with a headline all they want, but all that matters is what's being said in this organization and on this team and what happens in this locker room.
Well, as a quarterback's room, I mean, how do you guys react to news like that? Is that something that...
be honest with you, it's just it's a weird process.
Yeah.
I've never been through that. College, I guess going back to high school, my coach left, my head coach.
Yeah.
But it's still just a different feeling because he got to tell everybody bye, and it was just... So I don't know. It's a weird experience. I think you try to. I love Zamp to death. Zamp's one of my closest people in my life. A lot of personal stuff that I had went through coming out, and then when I first got here, he was like a father figure to me. So it's tough for me. It didn't work out.
I'm sorry, but
I wish it would have. But he knows it's part of the business, and I think down the line he will get a second chance at it, and I think he'll learn tremendously from what happened. And but it's a weird feeling. It really is.
Yeah.
It's a weird process.
Is that because now you have Bill in there? I mean, how easy is it to adjust? You've worked with him the last, so it's not like you don't know him, but is that a tough thing to adjust what his changes are going to be in the on the fly mid-season over a weekend, really?
It's gonna be a challenge because he's gonna want to do some things different, but I think it's a challenge our group can handle. Anytime you've been building a relationship as an offense, doing it one way, and then it changes. It's always going to be a little tough, but like I said, it's part of the business we're in. You have to be able to adapt to sudden changes, and just crazy business we're in.
Yeah.
So.
What's the weekend been like as far as the actual logistics of what happened? When did you find out? Is it just a grapevine rumor type thing that happened on Friday? And
no,
did you get a call, or how did that go down for you?
Yeah, I heard, from people, I'm just not going to say who, but that it was going to happen before it happened. And then once it all came out, then I got a call from Bill, kind of, said, what the process is going to be. And then I later talked to Zamp that after a couple hours after it all, just to give him a chance to settle down and kind of had about 15-minute talk about just what he meant to me and how much I appreciated him and how much I truly loved him and how he's a part of my life, not just football, but outside of football for me personally. And of course, our relationship, he drove me crazy sometimes and I drove him crazy, and it was just a mutual, it was just a different relationship, and so I truly cared about him, but he's a very smart coach and will land back on his feet.
Why didn't it work, Mac? He had a great run with Castle and Andy yourself. At his position, and then I guess it just didn't translate.
Yeah, Hobbs. I don't know if I can really pinpoint. I think it's just the business we're in. Some things just don't work out. It's just part of it. It's just it could be, just the bad timing on something. I don't know. It's a weird process. I don't know. I really don't know why it worked out, but just things weren't clicking the way we thought they were going to. Hobbs, I'm getting coffee.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're good.
It's not hot.
It was hot. I had DDT right here.
Now, the headlines are rolling now, obviously. Karen's in the wings. How do you respond to that?
Me and Andy knows our relationship. I don't think Andy has to ever worry about it. We don't let those things get in between me and him. That's part of the sports in general. It makes sports such a popular event. There's always somebody wanting this guy to play and somebody he's our quarterback. And I wish people would. It sucks to see for me personally, because my relationship with him, people booing him, and it's like, do you think he wants to have tip balls that turn into interceptions? Like, has he worked his whole life for that? Has he worked all week for that? Like, no. Like, he's a normal human. Imagine going to your job every day here, and players standing right here, when you ask a question they didn't like, they just booed you the whole time. But it's a weird process, right?
It's happened.
Next question you ask, I'm booing. No, I mean, I wish people would, in this city, would back him and go with it. I think I'm a great quarterback, and I think he's an unbelievable quarterback. I love him to death. But he's our quarterback. Like, stop making it into something else. It's not into something else. So ride with him, trust the team, trust the process, and trust what we're trying to do, and be a fan of who's playing. I mean, we're all part of a team. It's not, we're divided. It's not that way. So it's tough for me. It really is, because, like I said, I love him. I love our relationship, and been with him for a long time now. So it sucks. It sucks to see for me. And, I think for other people, if we didn't have such a close relationship, things like that can make the whole process weird, between quarterbacks on other teams if that starts happening. So, but me and him have a great relationship, and I think we've both handled it really well, and we know what nonsense is, and I think, you know, we trust and love each other, and so. He's our quarterback. I'll leave it at that. And I trust him every time he steps out there, and I think we're going to win every time he's under center. So it's part of football, though. You win some, you lose some. That's the way it goes.
So there is Andy Dalton and A.J. McCarron. I want to dive into specific, you know, I thought that was really heartfelt stuff from McCarron on his relationship with Ken Zampezi. I mean, clearly – McCarron went through a lot when he first got here. He had the arm thing. He was shut down. You know, he just – there was a lot when in his transition to the NFL, and I think Ken Zampezi really was someone he truly leaned on. McCarron is just a nice guy. He loves everyone.
Right.
But, I mean, I think he legitimately – when he says, I love that guy, I mean, I think that's real. But the thing I want to talk about is his – standing up for Andy Dalton against the way he's been treated in his mind by the fans and the fans' attitude towards the quarterback situation, him saying, this is not helping the team. You as fans need to ride with the guy who is playing and support the guy who is playing and stop making me over him be a thing. You know, that was his point. I mean, and the one I thought, he said, I wish people in this city would back him and go with it. I thought that was, you know, I don't know. Fans can do whatever they want. I don't have a problem with anything fans do at games, for the most part, outside of throwing things at the quarterback. You want to boo, you can boo. But I understand where McCarron's coming from here. He's saying none of this, if you're trying to support our team, this is not doing that. And his point that in a lot of other places, if I wasn't great friends with Andy Dalton, this all could be causing a bit of a problem.
Right.
Now, I say be a big boy and grow up, and it's professional sports and stuff like that, but he's got a point.
Right. The thing I like the best about this is A.J. McCarron telling A.J. McCarron guy...
Stop
being A.J. McCarron guy.
You're right. A.J. McCarron addresses A.J. McCarron guy.
Yes.
That's what my headline should have been on my story. What a missed opportunity. A.J. McCarron to A.J. McCarron guy. Stop being A.J. McCarron guy. What a missed opportunity on my headline. I'm so mad.
There's something to, for sure, because that's the one position on the team that and because Marvin despises quarterback controversies. Marvin doesn't believe in the whole I've got two quarterbacks or three quarterbacks because he knows that means you don't have one. And that's the one thing that can totally derail any part of it. Now, people can say, oh, well, it's derailed already or whatever, but no. You know, in terms of just totally splitting a team, you know, that's the one position that you can't really have that stuff with. But now how we kind of led into this with some of getting Andy back on track and A.J. McCarron guy is a short leash. And I thought more about this, Paul. I don't know if you can have a short leash with Andy Dalton unless you have decided at 6 years and five games that you are now trading or releasing him in the summer of 2018. Because once you make that decision, it's over. He can no longer be the $10 million starting quarterback of this team in 2018.
Because you cut his legs out from underneath him in the locker room.
With guys that are now here for the like a rookie class and a Tyler Boyd and an A.J. Green who signed through 2020 and an entire defensive core outside of Pac-Man that's signed through 2020. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
and
over.
You don't
then.
Make that call lightly. You don't make that call over a few games. You know? Not when you have 6 years of track record, and you might say, though, that's average to not to below average. Yeah, but that's what it is, though, and they have invested in that. And so to think that you're going to see five bad games and say that trumps the last 6 years. That trumps, like it or not, Marvin Lewis said last year he thought Andy was actually better in 2016 than 2015. And that's saying something because 2015 he was very, very good. And you can't deny that. If you deny that, then you don't have a clue what you're talking about. Now, so that's how the team feels about him. So take that feeling and say, Marvin Lewis and Mike Brown, two of the most patient people, just because of this year of urgency and a change of coordinator, are suddenly going to say, all that time we supported Andy Dalton through thick and thin, and there was a whole lot of thin, all that time, we're now decided these five games mean that he's toast in his 20s.
Right. I think
that's that logically doesn't fit the fact pattern.
No, and while on one hand you might say, well, they never fired a coordinator, and there they did. It's like, well, you know, probably for once they did the thing they should have done many other years.
Yeah.
I think if there's a short leash, meaning you're going to see changes on a Sunday, like in Green Bay, are going to be at other positions on offense. I think quarterback is the least, it's probably a concern, but I think it's less of a concern about who he is and what he can do. But that was like that's why Ken Zampezi was fired.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's like 14's fixed, think in their mind. And now it's, if there's a short leash, it's 3.4. It's other situations.
Yep. Which could be, and even on Thursday, we saw other situations, which was Alex Erickson being over Tyler Boyd. And
we
talked to Tyler Boyd for a while today, and I don't know what to make of that guy.
That means he's awesome.
Yeah. You know, he really, it's very interesting. Like, he was sort of like, I don't really know why they did that to me, you know? And I kind of asked him, like, do you feel like that means you need to prove something in practice to earn your way back? And he's like, man, I don't think so. Like, I feel like I sort of proved some things already. Like, it was very nonchalant, where it sounded like he felt he had kind of been sold he didn't fit the mold on special teams, and that's why he wasn't playing, which is true, but that's only because he was unseated as the slot receiver by Alex Erickson.
Right.
A really interesting, I don't know what's going on there. I could play for you the whole conversation, but it's just, it was kind of a surreal thing. So, but guys like that, or, you know, maybe we will see some change on the offensive line at some point. I don't know. I mean, if Jake Fisher has a couple more days like Thursday, then maybe you're trotting Andre Smith out there and seeing if he can do any better.
A.J. McCarron guy is trailed hot on his heels by Joe Mixon guy.
Yeah.
But we've talked about that. That's a more legitimate thing. And you and I had the debate all summer and all fall or whatever we're in now, late summer. We debated in spring.
Yeah.
And now it's late. Whatever.
It's not autumn yet.
No.
Because the autumnal solstice?
Equinox.
There's a summer and a winter solstice.
Don't buy an Equinox car. We don't want that.
You don't want that. Oh, you're
it's
taking
not
your,
a yard.
You're taking your shot. At
I'm
the
taking
Equinox.
A shot.
Equinox.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway. So
things that make you mad.
Yeah.
Having to think about the Equinox.
So I think that, you know, on one hand you could say what has been proven by anyone, and frankly, after other than Gio in his 5.7 against Baltimore. Running game has been great. It's been 17 carries with Gio, 12 and 12. And, you know,
Jeremy's averaging 2.6.
Yeah. Jeremy Hill's 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremy Hill basically gets the first series of the game and the first series of the second half.
And that's it.
Yeah, he's played 16 snaps.
Yeah.
So Joe Mixon guy's like, Jeremy Hill doesn't play, but he's not really playing.
Jeremy Hill doesn't really play. I mean, you're talking about an extra six touches. If you completely eliminate Jeremy Hill from the equation, You're talking an extra 5-6 touches for Joe Mixon.
Right.
What are we really talking about here? Is that going to change everything?
Not necessarily. Yeah, I don't know, but that's, I guess that's one of those things where I'm curious. That's, you know, you mentioned Boyd and Ross there, or Boyd and Erickson there. I think that's where does if John Ross is going to play more than 5 snaps he did Thursday, well, that means somebody's coming off the field who had previously been on it.
Yeah.
So I think outside of, you know, the quarterback short leash, I may not get, but there might be no more leash for some other guys.
Yeah,
come Sunday.
We're going to get more into Joe Mixon here in a second. First, I want to talk about 50 Fest. We've been telling you about 50 Fest for a long time. 50 Fest is coming up September 23rd, this Saturday. Huge party out at 50 West. All you got to do, get on 50 out through Marymount. You'll come right up on the production works and the brew pub, of course, and they'll be having a giant party out there with 80 local brews, other breweries, plus all their good stuff, of course. You have a bunch of local music. You have a petting zoo.
Yeah.
You have a million things going on. It's just going to be a huge party. Food trucks, all local food trucks. It's just going to be a really good time. You can come on out there and drink, eat, listen to music, be merry. Keep your money local. You know, it's what it's all about. So it's going to be a great time. That's this Saturday at 50 West Brewery. Get on out there for 50 Fest. It's going to be a huge, huge party. Optimistic Bobby will be there. Optimistic Bobby will be with us on the BBP2 this week. He's very excited to talk about Laser Cats. Anyway, so SNL fan remembers Laser Cats. Yep. He really thinks that Laser Cats is going to be a whole thing. So we're going to get to that on the Deuce this week with Optimistic Bobby. But he'll be out there at 50 Fest. So you can talk to him all day about how great you think this Bengals season is.
He's got a Twitter account now. Maybe he can put you on Twitter with your optimistic thoughts.
Dude, I tell you what. We are getting him up there. I told him we'd get him to 1,000 followers by the end of the year, and he's already added 200 in like a week and a half. It's totally going to happen. So you got to follow him.
So there are
at Bobby Slattery, at Bobby Slattery, but his name is Optimistic Bobby on Twitter.
Right.
He's actually a really funny follow since he's really embraced the Optimistic Bobby thing. I really enjoyed I'm not going to let fame get to my head. I put my pants on two legs at a time, and then it was just like a picture of his ridiculous Bengals fur pants.
Here's the thing I'm amazed at is that there's almost 1,000 positive Bengals fans.
Yeah. And he is their leader. You know what he is? He's the Hugh Jackson of positive Bengals fans. He's a leader of men.
Is he like the Lionel of Laser Cats?
It's possible. I don't know. We'll get into all this.
Andy Dalton has red hair like Lionel from Thundercats. Yo, this is just
this is
new level. I'm taking Laser Cats because I love Thundercats.
Yeah, you
Cats,
do?
I did. Gino is totally Panthro, just like crushing dudes.
I really miss the Thundercats trend. That never became a thing for me.
Dude, I have every season on a box set DVD.
Wow.
Yes, I did ask for that.
How many people have that?
Not
there's
enough.
No way. There's no way. There's no way there's more than, I don't know, 1,000 people that own that.
That's cool, limited edition.
Do they all have a number on it? Did you say
know.
Like 14?
It should.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's special. Good for you. You know?
You know what? After this podcast, I'm going to go watch the season.
Taking some Thundercats. Oh, man. All right. We got off track there.
Chitara beat John Ross in a 40?
Dude, your Thundercats jokes are going to whiff with me all night long. Like, I don't get it. I didn't watch it. Just know people at home are laughing about that.
At Paul Daner Jr., Chitara, or John Ross. Go. I'm going to be so disappointed if I don't get a single one tweet from one person.
What's the Thundercats theme? Don't they sing something?
Yeah,
don't they
sing? I ain't saying. Singing is your job. I'm not singing.
It's because I have
but
such
there
a
is
great
one.
Voice.
Yeah, well, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I remember is there's some sort of
song. There is a song.
There's some sort of song. Okay. All right, let's move on to Joe Mixon. What Thundercat would Joe Mixon be?
Oh, well, see, there aren't that many.
Oh.
You know what? I'm totally forgetting now, like, the Tiger. Well, there is a Tiger.
Yeah. That's got to be like the big one, though. That's got to be like AJ Green's got to be the
Yeah,
the
I don't think Joe Mixon's the Thundercat yet.
No, he's got to earn that. Yeah. 2.6 doesn't make you a Thundercat. Because,
like, Panthro in the tank is definitely Geno just, like, crushing dudes right now.
Dude, four people that listen to the BBP and
they're
love
Thundercats this.
Are in heaven
they
right
now.
They
are right now.
They've stopped their car and pulled off on the side of the road just to, like, take it all in
yeah.
and make sure they're listening. They just
but
think
see, now they're
the
mad
greatest.
At me, though, because I'm forgetting the Tiger's name. It's, like, totally blanking.
What kind of real fan are you?
I know. Like the one that I should know, right, for the Bengals
right.
and Laser Cats is the Tiger that I can't think of right now.
Oh, man. All right. So, Joe Mixon, you had a good conversation with Joe Mixon today. And it's kind of like, wait, was that a good conversation with Joe Mixon? Because he hasn't exactly been a scribe's dream thus far.
No, I don't even know how much we've had of Joe since draft time.
Yeah,
honest.
I don't think so.
Because it's just one of those, he's just been very guarded, very, you know, which is understandable. I think he's obviously more comfortable, but. I was really surprised. So I asked him about Ken Zampezi and like, hey, is this a welcome to the NFL moment in a way? You know, and we get into some stuff. And at the end, you're going to hear some Paul Daniel Jr. editing magic here. Because I totally just butchered the question. But I got to it about his role maybe going forward. And Joe was really good. He sounded like a pro in a lot of ways. I was kind of pleasantly surprised, if you will.
Interesting. All right, here's
some good
Joe
stuff to say.
So here's Jim with Joe Mixon.
He's an OC. Is that kind of like a real? This is okay. Things don't go right. This is kind of the business of football. You know what I mean? What was that kind of like for you guys? Because you're new. You know what I mean? You've only been around Kent since April. Whereas like Andy's like I've been him my whole career. So what was that kind of like for you to kind of hear that news and? Process that, I guess.
I mean, for me, it was tough, you know, because getting to know Zamp, you know, he took me in and, you know, he did whatever he can to put me in good situations. Ever since I came here at Zamp, he's been a great guy to me, even a better person off the field. So, you know, I feel for him, you know, so, I mean, but that's the kind of business we in. I mean, you could be here one day and gone tomorrow, but and his amp, he was a great dude. You know, I loved him, you know, ever since I met him since day one, even when they was recruiting me to come here. You know, like I said, since day one. And, you know, I wish the best for him.
Is that a tough thing as players? Because, I mean, it is, like they can say, not for long, here they go tomorrow. But, you know, I mean, in a situation like this, a coach is the one that's got to go because the players are here. Yeah. As you guys, I mean, you got 14 games left. Is that a tough thing? Like, wow, we didn't get points. So this dude takes the fall for us? Like, how did that kind of – or can you not think that way? And it's just, you know.
I mean, for me, I'm the type of guy I'll never blame it on coaches or anything because at the end of the day, we're the guys that got to go out there and execute. So, I mean, I'm hard on myself. You know, I take full responsibility on anything. I could have did this better. I could have did that. I could have prepared better, studied better, or, you know, even practiced better. Like, I'm that type of guy, like – I don't know about everybody else, but, you know, I take full responsibility. You know, we just got to go out there and perform. I mean, that's the main thing. We got to go out there and perform and win.
Right. Well, speaking of that, I mean, I know we since we can't see you guys work, we don't know what Bill will look like until – or you guys will look like as Bill to play call until Sunday. Mm-hmm. How do you – is that kind of what you're searching for this week? Is like, okay, who are we as an offense? What do we do great to win?
I mean, I'm not really worried about what we do as an offense or a defense. I mean, it's a whole collective thing.
Yeah.
So we got to go in there. We're going in a hostile environment. We're going to Green Bay. Like,
right.
They're going to put up points, so that's going to make us have to put up points in order for us to win. I mean, I don't really try to think about what we have to be or what we need to be.
Right.
You know, because that's outside opinions, right? That's, I mean, we can't control that. But like I said, we only can control what we control.
Yeah.
And we just got to go out there and fight hard and do whatever we can.
I'm just finally, I know you want to get some food. Because again, it's a new OC, it's a new guy. If the things change over here with the way the three of you are being used, are you ready able to take more of a load if need be? Like, are you kind of, at least in terms of the offense? Because, you know, play calls aren't going to, or the offense isn't going to change. You guys are practicing this stuff since April. But are you ready? Like, if that were to happen, would you be ready to be like, all right, you know, I'm ready to take on more of a burden if need be?
I mean, we got three really good running backs in our room, so whatever they're comfortable doing, if they're going to play one or play two, and, you know, one of us have to sit up, it's me, I'm going to do whatever I can to cheer my guys on and, you know, wish them the best and hope they, you know, rush for 2,000 yards. You know, I'm that type of guy. But if they were to, you know, put me out there, I don't know, I got to put my team in the best position to win. I mean, I'm going to run hard, I'm going to make people miss, and I'm going to do my thing. But, I mean, everybody, I mean, we all know, like,
right.
We could do – We're gonna take each other as far as we can,
right.
You know, while we can. So, right. These guys gotta be bought in.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the thing about this whole one thing. You know, we mentioned it before. We're talking about maybe 5 to 6 extra snaps,
right?
With Joe Mixon, but I think giving him a chance to get a rhythm, the one
right.
that Bill Lazor said he wants, is to get a running back a rhythm, and get himself going a little bit. And maybe feature the running game a little bit more and work
yeah.
a little bit more play action and roll out stuff off of that into
yeah.
it is something worth emphasizing. I mean, that's where you could see how it could look very different.
Right.
If it was more run-focused, which it clearly hasn't been thus far. They had,
right.
what, 62 plays against the Texans and 20 carries to the backs?
Yeah.
That's... in a game that was close the whole time.
Yeah, especially in the quarterback were struggling.
Yes. It's not even being attempted. So that's where I think you could see the biggest difference, and that's where you say going with Joe Mixon and, you know, reading between the tea leaves, I think very high up in this building was a push
yeah.
saying we need to be focusing Joe Mixon more.
Yeah, and I think that's just time. Like, we talked about it, Paul, like the we're talking about short leashes. I think Jeremy's changed, just like my projection of that. Remember, because I was very much on the I think it's Jeremy's until halfway through the year or whatever. And then once we saw Joe in camp, I was like, maybe it's only a couple games.
Maybe a couple games.
And yeah. what, lo and behold, we're at 2 games and 3.4 and 0-2.
There you go.
You know, and yeah, it's like you said, it's 6 carries, but again, it's when those are, and maybe, you know.
But what to me the question will be, so let's say, I feel pretty good that Mixon will be featured more, and that they'll get to more of a traditional structure. To me, will the rotation with Giovanni Bernard continue? Will he just be a third down guy? Will you basically have Joe Mixon first and second down, and Giovanni Bernard third down, or long yardages, and then Jeremy Hill as goal line? To me, that's what made the most logical sense this entire time.
The entire time, yeah. I'm curious because Joe's built, you know, he basically is, he's a taller Jeremy Hill, like weight-wise. Like, they're both like 228,
they're
230.
They're both right around 228.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure if you were to ask Jeremy, do you want it 25 times? He'd say, yeah, like, I can handle that, whatever. I'm sure Joe would say the same thing. Gio's interesting because he's effective in what he does. You know what I mean? So
too,
like,
often they get caught trying to run him up the middle.
Yeah, and that does,
you know,
happen. It's
and
just,
I don't mind Gio running in, you know, not in space or not on a screen or a draw. I don't mind that. But it shouldn't happen too often. I think too often when you're giving Gio full drives, you're asking him to run off tackle, between the tackles.
Right.
And I don't think that's where the most amount of time he's going to be effective, whereas the most amount of time Joe Mixon is going to be effective in those types of runs.
Right.
It just seems like it makes more sense. And that's where the whole three drives thing never did, because it was like, you weren't playing to these guys' strengths necessarily.
Right. And then you're only on a field for 6 plays,
and then
or
you
four
disappear,
plays, or
and then
three
you disappear for a quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, as a running back, how do you do, especially when you're not getting the ball that much when you're out there anyway?
Right.
I understand where the frustration would come from. So we'll see how much they get Mixon going, but you're right. I thought he was interesting in that conversation.
Yeah.
Being pretty honest.
Yes. Yeah. Especially you wouldn't think from, again, a rookie only spending a little bit of time with Ken Zampezi.
Yep.
Also, by the way, Thundercats fans killing me because, duh, Tigra. That's his name.
His name's Tigra.
I kind of said it. Maybe that's why I couldn't think of it.
Yeah. Tigra.
Yeah.
And it's kind of lame.
I think he has to be. I don't think, because there's only the three of them.
You're looking up every Thundercats thing you can think of right now.
No. What I am, no. No.
No, what are you looking up?
Look up ZipRecruiter.com, Paul.
Oh,
because
you try to
the Thundercats may be hiring.
Oh, if they need more,
they do need more.
Yeah.
So do you know where the Thundercats would post their job to find the best candidates? Because it's a challenge to find great talent, and/or the importance of finding great talent for a successful business. ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click. I can't believe the Thundercats.
What? What?
I'm losing my mind.
What is it about? What is it about the Thundercats that
ZipRecruiter would use ZipRecruiter?
You're right. I think it would help them. The only question is, would they have trouble typing with their paws and stuff? Like, or are they?
I think they had opposable thumbs in the show.
Did they?
I think so.
Well, they probably would go text to talk,
right? Because you can post that job to 100 plus job sites with just one click.
Thundercats are hiring.
Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, Paul, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within one day. No juggling emails, no calls to the office. You simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. So, find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/beat. That's ZipRecruiter/beat. One more time, try it for free and go to ZipRecruiter.com/beat.
I think I might have left one of these paint cans open down here and caused a bit of an issue with our podcast tonight. I think one of these was supposed to be shut and was left open, and we're here like getting progressively higher as this this pod goes along because we're envisioning Thundercats using ZipRecruiter right now. But if they were hiring, you're right. I mean, I think it would be a good way to go.
I think so, too. So it's, you know, when it comes to this Bengals team going forward, Paul, I think those are the changes that we'll see in the more immediate future, and just, you know, finding out. I mean, people heard there that question I asked Joe where I basically – maybe this is what threw me off with my mealy mouth thing, because I flat out – I mean, you'll hear when I said, like, I don't know what you guys do well.
Yeah.
Which is not an easy thing to say to a football player.
Yeah, but it's true.
So I think that's what they want to find out Sunday, which is so bad to say in week three of the season, but I think that's just kind of where they are.
It's where they are. We'll get much more into specific preview of Green Bay, which we didn't really get to this week, in the Deuce. So make sure you check us back out on Thursday. We'll talk more about Green Bay. We'll give you an update on Tyler Eifert, who is banged up. Yeah. Again, I know you'll be shocked to find this out. It's the same stuff that he's had, though.
Right.
He's had the knee issue that kept him out of the preseason game in Washington, and he's had a back issue from his surgery where he is openly admitted twice during the offseason and preseason that there are some things he's just not going to be able to do again because of his back. So it's going to be an issue. We saw him getting stretched out with that back on Thursday. So we'll see how that all plays out. All right. Why are you mad?
Well, I'm mad
not because the Equinox.
No, I couldn't remember the Tiger's name. I mean, come on. You know? The thing that I don't like, Paul, the thing that makes me mad is when you hit the unsubscribe button to some whatever email thing that either you didn't do or maybe you subscribe, you don't remember, you don't want it anymore. And one of two things happens. One, you hit unsubscribe. Are you sure? Yes. Why are you doing it? You got to click the buttons. Can't just hit unsubscribe. You got to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Then they email you one more time are you sure you did this? Was this you? Can you come back? Oh. No, I am like, I just hit unsubscribed and filled out the 3-question survey on why I want to be done with this. Don't send me more emails.
Yes.
Or it doesn't work. And they continue to send you emails. And I say, and you're lying?
More often than not, I find unsubscribe is a completely fruitless operation.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter how many times you try to unsubscribe, you're going to continue to. I still get emails from something called My Points that I did when I was like, it was like 2002. I still get like 3 a day. And I don't know how to get rid of it. I spent like all of 2006 trying to get rid of My Points emails. I could never make it happen, and I still get them. I don't know what My Points is. I don't know why I ever signed up for them in the first place, and I can't make them stop. And they fill up my old Hotmail account, which everyone knows is only for old people and poor people. But it's what you use to give people when you need junk mails, or you try to sign up for something to get a free blanket.
Right.
But it's frustrating.
Yes.
So I feel you. I feel you on that. But I feel like the whole unsubscribe process is a hoax.
Well, yeah. But that doesn't mean I can't get mad about it. Because that's like...
It makes you more mad.
It does. I don't want to see that.
Yes. You know what makes me happy? What makes me happy is looking at all the garbage in my basement and thinking about how great I'm going to feel when I actually have time to tackle this project.
Yeah.
This is a whopper. This is just a whopper of a messy project.
Yeah.
But if you are, I have a really interesting basement, like, setup where it's really, I can't really finish it just because of it's like split into two sides. I got a giant furnace issue. The space isn't really conducive unless I just got rid of the steps and put in a fire pole, which I'm okay with. I've brought this up before. It didn't go over well, but I'm going to keep fighting that fight. If anybody's listening to BBP and can help me out, and you feel like you are an expert or you know an expert at how to really get the most out of your basement space and how to, like...
You need a basement guy?
Dude, I need a basement. I need a basement expert. This is for advanced.
This is beyond like, guy?
This is... I know people that are great basement people. Like, people do great... My father made an incredible basement reno that he did himself. It's unbelievable, right? This is for, like... This is like beyond that, though. This is like I might
like
need
BBO?
To knock some walls down. This is BBO.
Yeah.
It's beyond a basement operation here. So if you know a guy who's unbelievable, creative, can come up with some stuff, let me know. Hit me up because I need some help down here because this thing is an absolute.
Yeah, your
mess.
Luck with guys like fence guys and yard guy and like. There's dirt guy,
there's
couch
always guy.
Like
I spent.
I think you do need. I'll agree with you that like this is beyond basement guy.
Yeah, definitely. There's no doubt about
it. You can't just have an AJ McCarron guy.
What if basement guy is an AJ McCarron guy?
You can't let him in the house.
We'll never get started on that basement. We'll never get started in the basement. I'll have to call AJ over to talk AJ McCarron guy down.
Right.
Just so we can start talking about the basement.
Right.
All right. What an entertaining episode.
Man, I just need one tweet. I want more. I want people to at Paul Daner Jr., Ken Chitara beat John Ross in a 40.
Don't send all your Thundercats garbage to me.
Fine, then ask him all of Tyler Eifert back questions
all right,
as well.
I'll take Thundercats. I'll take Thundercats over that. I'll take Thundercats over that. All right. Well, let's end this. Before it gets worse. Okay, so Thundercats guy, unsubscribe guy, Beyond Basement guy, we need you. Hit us up at Paul Daner Jr., at Jim Ozarski on Twitter. You can always email us, pdanerjr@inquirer.com, josarski@inquirer.com. Let's see, you can hit us up on our Instagram page, ENQ Bengals. You can see us on Facebook, ENQ Sports.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff on there. You're on the Snapchats.
Yeah, that's just my name.
Just
like
your name.
The Twitter.
Exactly. So you've got that. I'm not on the Snapchats. I don't. I'm more in Instagram stories.
Yeah.
So you can follow our ENQ Bengals Instagram stories there. I run that because you can't figure out how to get it work on your phone.
Yeah, no.
But I'm good on that. So we got that taken care of. You're going to want to see the behind the scenes because we're going to have all behind the scenes from our trip to Lambeau this weekend.
Yeah.
So we'll be going up stopping in your hometown,
yeah,
in Milwaukee, and yeah, then all the way up to Green Bay.
Yep.
And so we'll have all the behind the scenes of the Bengals trip to Lambeau. So make sure you follow on Instagram, ENQ Bengals, and Jim,
yeah,
on Twitter and Snapchat and whatever they come up with next. We'll, yeah, something, right, on that before you know it. So anyway, thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back later in the week on the Deuce. This Tuesday, Carl Lawson is on BTS, 7 o'clock, Holy Grail Bank. So come on down, meet Carl Lawson, listen to us talk about Thundercats and other things. So we will talk to you later. Have a good one, everybody.